August 4, 2021, it's the Wofford Pedro Show.
Thank you. of piss. Do you ever lay blacktop? Of course not. You're a lawyer. And a heart that pumps my blood. I don't even care about self-destruction anymore. This job's a piece of piss. You're a lawyer. Take my hand, we'll go riding. Through the sunshine from above.
Pedro Shaw, happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk doing Bahia, something live for the, I think, 9 months he played between shifts with Miles Davis and Quitting the Shit, the year I was born. That's what Love Supreme is all about, people. If you want a spoiler alert. Well, you can hear I'm not totally man alone. Watery Love after that with Piece of Piss. One of the best titles I've ever fucking got to read on this show in 20 years, 3 months. Thank you so much. Courtesy of Brother Bill Nace through the software engineers of Estonia with their Skype invention. We got Richie Charles. Welcome aboard, Richie.
Yo, thank you, Watt. Thank you for having me.
And where are you spieling from to me?
Today? I'm in Philadelphia.
Ah, okay. Philadelphia. Used to be a Navy town. When my pop was a sailor, there's a big mothball fleet, but they don't sail much more.
There's still, traces of that around, over on the docks.
Yeah, it gets smaller and smaller. And I think they got some kind of bullshit war shrine fetish. We got one here in Pedro, too. I'm not going to name the boat. But we got a merchant marine ship, SS Lane Victory, that still runs, in fact. But let's get into your story regarding music, your journey.
Brother Richie,
please, what I'd like to bring for us is your earliest. Now, remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. But
all
try to bring your. Use that crowbar in your fucking mind and bring that earliest musical memory you got still.
I mean, I think the earliest one, stuff that I remember, is probably just tapes my sister brought home and, flipping on MTV. My parents always tell me that, I guess, when I was a kid, Thriller was, a real big thing.
Yeah.
And they would tell me that, if I, climbed out of my crib and wanted to hang out, Thriller would inevitably come on TV. I don't know if it was on MTV or what, but they said Thriller was just on every night. And I was, scared of Vincent Price. I would see, I'd be gone.
What happened was, I didn't watch a lot of that shit. But I remember him making, a big whooper, like a bonus video.
Yeah.
It had the big dancing and had Vincent, Mr. Price narrating kind of scary shit. They're wearing makeup.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me, man.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Quincy Jones, pretty good sounding record, too. And I saw Miles Davis do one of those tunes, Human Nature.
You're kidding.
I wouldn't shit you.
I'm sorry, man. Shouldn't question you.
But I saw him do that. He also did Time at this period, he has fight with his publisher, so he's doing all these covers. It's near the end, fourth act kind of stuff. So, okay, Mike Jackson. So you have a lot of influence on K-pop. You watch all them guys dancing and the ladies too over there. Mike Jackson had such an influence on those people. That's why J-pop and K-pop aren't the same thing. I think it's because the U.S. soldiers in Korea more, because whatever the situation. And, black soldiers and, some street music, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
And speaking of Philly, Schoolie D, I got to play downtown once with him in the late 80s.
Yeah, he's still around, man. Oh, yeah, that's his neighborhood, man. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you used to see him around, bars a lot past couple years, or more like maybe 10 years ago you'd run into him. I know he's still kind of out there.
Wow.
Still
he had
town,
his own label and
stuff.
Shit, when he was, I think, even still just a teenager. Thurston. Okay, so in this pad you grew up, where was it? Was it Philly, too?
It was probably a 30-minute drive from where I'm sitting right now, north of the city. There was a train line direct into town.
Sure, I took that train from New York City, Amtrak.
Yeah, that Amtrak might have passed through my town, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It passed through some heavy stuff before you get. It's about 100 miles. Anyway, was there instruments in that pad you grew up?
In the house, there was an upright piano, but it was really more like a piece of the furniture. No one really knew how to play it. My sister took lessons, but they never really went anywhere. We would, keep it clean, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Did you ever jump on it?
I mean, I did, yeah. I learned how to play, there's a song that takes, three notes at a time about a bug sitting in a rug, and I learned how to play that, and that was the extent of it.
Well, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
There was, I think it was fourth grade, we got the choice of, we could try and, take lessons at school, and I guess it cut into, my lunch class. I don't know how it worked out, but you could, take your choice, and I was told that you could learn how to play a violin, and that would, like, gear you up to eventually pick up a guitar. Or I could just take, like, a snare drum lesson, and I'd have to, you know, just play one snare drum. So I went the snare route, and, yeah, messed around with that for a while.
You know where I saw drum credit like that was the first thing, I think Bob Quine put out, Little Your Lunches. It was called Teenage Jesus and the Jerk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Bradley, it just says drum.
It's just
that's,
one.
That's all he played was snare drum.
Yeah, and I think he played
no,
with
no,
a lot more
no, 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 it was Big Jim. It was Big Jim. Bradley was the bass man.
Okay.
Big,
yeah, that's
Scott
great.
Vernius,
Bob
right?
Quine's great.
Big man, tall man. He's done a lot of work with Nick Cave and stuff, and Taff Falco. Okay. So you got on the snare drum. Now, did that mean like marching at the football games?
Yeah, none of that. I don't know if maybe if I stuck with it, I would have been able to go that way. But, you know, not long after that, I'd like.
Well, your sister was older, right?
Yeah, she was
okay.
eight years older.
But what I'm saying is, like, her record collection probably had some influence on you, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, at this time, you know, this was the 80s, so it was like, I don't think she even had records. It was all tapes. So she would have
well,
these tapes.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not.
I know what you're getting at.
I don't mean, yeah, I'm sorry for being born in 1957, but
what?
The medium's
no.
not so important.
Well,
Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
It was Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, MC Hammer.
The Big Pants. Okay.
Yeah, the Big Pants, big dance moves. I thought it had a lot of
personality. I think
you
started out as a bad boy for the Oakland A's. And what was the first gig you went and saw, Richie?
That would have been, I think it was actually Fugazi at the Troc. It was like my buddy's birthday.
And that's a good pad. I did a lot of gigs there. Old Burlesque Theater.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Town, right.
Yep, yeah, right there by the Arches.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've noticed a lot of cats in fucking wild-ass music are the younger ones in the family. Maybe because they get all that influence and it's their way of trying to get their own identity back or something.
It could have been, man, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who
what about
was?
The shit? I'm not talking, Richie, about after graduating high school, but after school mm-hmm. in the afternoon, like garage band, basement band, bedroom band. Did you do that?
Yeah. At some point, you know, this would have been after quite a few years after, like, having that snare drum at school. I'd, like, not played. And then, you know, at some point, me and my buddies had just heard more music, and then when I guess I bought a guitar, or I got a guitar for Christmas, and, you know, we would get together in, like, the basement, you know, meet a couple guys, and we'd mess around.
Now, did you do lessons on this guitar? Did it come with an amplifier?
So, at first, I got this acoustic guitar, which I still have somewhere around here, but I didn't have a lot of luck with that. Like, you know, you had to work harder on that one. I didn't have the ability, the patience, the ear.
Well, did you
at some point I got an electric.
Did you take the teacher path is also what I'm asking.
So I did. I think at some point I got an electric, like a cheap electric, and then took lessons at a music school or a store rather.
Probably the store that sold it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the one that sold me my string.
You know, right? It's probably because I remember Pedro would be like that. Like, in the back of the store, they had little rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, you know, it made sense, right? Like,
totally.
I know this great drummer lady in Japan, and she learned in the Yamaha School of Drum. You know, if you're going to sell things, why don't you fucking give lessons, right?
Right, then they'll sell me another guitar down the line, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But how was that experience? Because sometimes the learning experience is kind of a turnoff, but sometimes it's good, so I'm going to ask you.
Well, you know, it kind of went both ways. I went there and pretty quickly, like, I didn't show a lot of interest in, like, learning how to read music or anything, but the guy who taught me was a guy who, like, played in, like, cover bands and stuff, and pretty quickly he was like, well, if you want to bring in some music, you know, I can teach it to you. So I would bring in, like, I still have this book that he would just, I'd bring in, like, a Black Flag song, be like, yeah, I want to learn this. And then he would write out the tab for me that day. I actually, you know.
So you didn't learn to read music, but you learned how to read tabs.
Yeah, man. And, yeah, so I cheated that way and, you know, still. And
Well, look, whatever works, right? Because at the end of the day, you're making sounds. And like that Frank Morgan in The Wizard of Oz said, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So yeah. I think it's free. You're free. There is no cheating, no wrong, right? Whatever works, works. You gave me some more watery love. I want to play this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, after Pedro, so that chunk of music started off with Watery Love, Meg's Dreamcatcher, which is named after drummer lady for Watery Love, Meg.
Yeah, Meg Baird, yeah, a fantastic guitar player and singer. And then we were able to convince her to play drums with Watery Love.
Well, the other way around, I think if you could play drums, you can probably play anything. But people don't believe me. Because they want to think that drummers are idiots because they know where the real power is, assholes. Okay, Dear Like After, that brand new Phlebotomy. I think that's knowing shit by feeling the bumps on your head. So, maybe. Tom Hall, too, brand new. Graves for Failed Theories. Graves for Failed Theories, say that right. Well. And then, the last part of Bronze Age UFO, brand new Lagoon Monster Rubber Mass. This is part B5, the final part. And then Leaf Blower, The Silence. I was the Eagle from Sam Lockward, featuring Weird Paul Petroski, Bob Buckle Jr., Mears, Bombus Prendon, Behind Your House, and finally, some more Watery Love, Empty Walls. So now this band, you guys were just fooling around with when you first got the guitar. Are you still trying to, like, figure out songs off records like you did with the teacher? Or are you, with your guys, actually trying to compose?
No, we were definitely writing our own stuff, and then we would, like, maybe play a cover or two. You know, it was like that kind of thing.
Well, can I ask you if it was mostly a practice band, or did you guys end up doing gigs?
Oh, we did some gigs, yeah.
Yeah. Did this band have a name?
Yeah, this is a pretty lousy band.
No, does it have a name? See how good it was.
This band was called Roman Numeral 30. It was
That's interesting. XXX, like Amsterdam.
Yeah. Yeah, like Amsterdam. Yeah, it was
which I actually became the code for adult movies. But it actually comes from Middle Ages when people couldn't read, so they wrote down the post so they knew which town they were in. So, was the first XXX or Roman numeral? Did you actually call the band Roman numeral XXX or did you 30?
No, we put the name 30 in it. Yeah, we thought it was clever.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. Do you remember the first gig?
Oh, excuse me. I think it was at a skate park out in like suburban Philadelphia, not too far from where we were all living.
Was it a success? They throw shit?
I don't know. I guess it was all right. We had a good time.
Okay, then that's a success. They don't throw shit. And if you look at my musical history, I had one time, me and D-Boo, we had something called the Bright Orange Band, and it was all like lame-ass copying of the Rolling Stone and Blue Oyster Cult and Alice Cooper and Creedence and anyway, it was a school thing. We were in 10th grade, and D-Boone's pop literally had to drive with a pickup truck up to the stage to save us because they were throwing rocks and shit us so hard. Yeah, so that's why I ask people about the first gigs, and they're always asking, yeah, of course it went good. What else could go wrong? You weren't in the fucking Bright Orange in 1974. Okay. San Pedro, California.
Yeah. No, I guess, everyone was easy on us.
Okay.
I mean, at some point,
well, you know what? I gotta say something about skaters, man. They're pretty open minded because they want, you know, people come up with their own style and wild shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was never good enough to do much skating. I was into the culture, like the mags.
Yeah, but I think they look at a parallel with the music that way. Over here, the skating was kind of close to punk.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was here too. But there's like in Philly, I was scared to go to the skate spots. Like they were tough. You, like, kids my age would get, like, chased away or the cops would take their boards, you know?
Like surfers. Like surfers.
Yeah, I guess it's like a wave thing.
My beach, my, what's it called? Territorial Pissins. Yeah, Kurt.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that.
Even the people on the hill up here with the money, they act like gangsters when it comes to this and slash your tires while you're down there surfing, assholes. Mm. Yeah, one was the son of the sheriff up there. It don't matter. So, How long did Roman Numeral 30 go?
Oh, I don't know. 6 months.
Did you guys ever record?
Yeah, we got on a four-track and, you know, tried.
Did you ever press it up?
Nah.
Okay. So what happens to you with music later on?
I mean, I put it down for a while, actually. At that point, I was in high school. I was, like, watching every band I could, buying every record I could, reading all the magazines, everything. And then at some point, I kind of just stopped paying attention for a couple years. And
it happens. Life comes in cycles, you know?
Yeah.
I think Chuck D. said, life comes in cycles. Old is new. No, I ain't no psycho.
Yeah, you said it, man. You said it.
Well, Chuck said it.
I mean, and then it was quite a few years, and then a buddy of mine, I was living in a house with a couple friends, and they had a friend who lived in Cleveland, and that guy would, like, call to talk to my roommates, but if they weren't home, we would start rapping. And at some point, he was like, you know what, man, I think I'm going to move back to Philly, and I think you should go buy a drum kit. We should start playing. And that kind of
got
me moving
drum.
Again.
Back to the snare drum. By this time, you got rid of the snare drum, right? You're a guitar man.
I kind of had both.
Oh, you had a kit, too?
I had, I had a snare drum and some cymbals, and then he was coming back. He's like, well, I'm going to go buy a new guitar. He bought a Flying V and a full stack, like a Marshall full stack. Like, we're doing this. And I had just gotten, like, my first job that paid me any money at all. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to go spend $1,000 on this drum kit. And then we went for it for a while there. We had a good time.
What was it called?
That was called Clock Cleaner.
That's a good name. And you had no bass.
We went through a couple bass players until we found the right one.
Okay, so it was a power trio.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was worried there, Richie. I thought it was poor, lonely kick drum.
No, we have plenty of respect for the bass, man. Don't worry.
Okay. So, tell me about the first gig you did with a fucking full stack and a $1,000 drum set. What, the third bass
with
player?
With them... Oh, and I mean, with that, like, you know, that was, like, cymbals and everything for $1,000. I bought, like, a marching band kick drum because I wanted it to be nice and loud. So it was, like, it was a monster.
Kurt Overkill had one of those over here in the old SST days.
Oh, yeah. And, it was loud. It was a pain in the ass to move around.
Well, did you guys do touring?
Yeah, we toured a lot, man. It felt like a lot to me. I don't know. It wasn't a lot.
No, that kick drum probably bogarted half the boat.
Oh, man, it did. And after that, I was an idiot. And anymore, it's like, yo, if a place has a house kit, I'll just play that. You know, I don't need to carry this shit around.
Now, how long does this band last? Because you didn't send me any music from these cats.
No, I couldn't find any of that digitally. We put out stuff. I just didn't have it on my computer.
Okay.
We did, that band did, like, two albums, a couple EPs, a bunch of singles.
That's pretty good. We kept it
going for a while.
And like you said, you did tours. Now were they the whole country or just Northeast?
We would do a bunch of, like, kind of, like, weekend things up into New England, maybe a little bit south, and then we would go out for, like, 2-3 weeks at a time once in a while, Texas,
Chicago.
Did you
ever get on this side of the Rockies?
Only once, our final trip, and it was a blast. I wish we would have done it some more.
All right. I like to hear people say that because here's too much belly aching and moaning, but... You dug it. That's great.
Oh, no. Yeah, we had a good time, man. And Watery Love got flown out there one time, too. And that was...
Watery Love next hour because we're at the end of the first hour now, August 4th, 2021. Dish and Waffle Pedro Show. Special guest, Richie Charles, on top of hour two. August 4th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Waffle Pedro.
Thank you.
repeat our show we start off the second hour with I'm a Skull from Watery Love, and then vary it with There's Lots of Light Leaking All Over. Lucas Abella with last track, Astute Palate with Loose Wings. So you were talking about the last tour, and you did make it to the west side. And then what happened? The band just falls, the wheels fall off?
Yeah, let me see. We did that, and shortly after that, the singer, John Sharkey, who's done his own, who's,
awesome.
You know, continued to make music.
They turned it a four-piece?
No, we were a three-piece, but the guy, I was playing drums, the guy who was playing guitar and singing and, like, writing the songs and everything, he ended up meeting a lady on one of our tours who was from Australia, and he moved down there to be with her. So, you know, that broke up the band. We had a great run, though.
Mr. Edgar Allan Poe, right? Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Yeah.
Okay, but music don't end for you there, though, Richie.
No. Yeah, that was about when that was kind of fizzling out, was around the time that me and my buddies started doing Watery Love. And that just kind of grew out of, like, every Friday night, me, Max, and Meg were, like, just sitting at the bar together, and eventually we're like, well, you know, if we're going to sit together on a Friday night, why don't we pick up our guitars and do something else?
So you didn't play drums?
No, when it came to Watery Love.
Okay.
Yeah, and Meg's an amazing guitar player and a fantastic singer and just a great person, and then she was like, it was kind of like, well, we want to do something else, and Meg never played drums before, so let's come up with this new arrangement, and that became Watery Love.
Do you remember the first Watery Love song you guys wrote together?
Yeah, man, I'm a Skull.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, by telepathy, why take the right fucking tune?
Okay. I mean, I also fed that one to you.
Right. But, yeah, you did feed it.
But, yeah, I mean, that became, like, our anthem, and we weren't all that prolific, so, like, early on a lot of times we would play I'm a Skull first at the gig, and then
do you remember the first Watery gig? The Watery Love gig?
Oh, sure, man. Yeah, that was in the basement of the Philadelphia Record Exchange. We did not have a bass player yet, and I was, like, just staring at the floor, just, like, embarrassed,
Was there two guitar players?
Yeah, two guitar players. Okay. Neither one of us knew how to tune a guitar. Like, we both just turned up to 10 and did our best.
Okay. And Meg was the real pro, right? She held it together?
Yeah, oh, yeah, she was amazing. Just, you know, no nonsense. Like, she knew the songs, knew how they would go, and then it was up to us to try to find our way into it.
Right. Now, this band didn't really tour, did it?
We did some trips. Like, we went out.
Because it sounds like it was a local band kind of thing.
Yeah, it was definitely, we were definitely not motivated to, like, really put in the work and, like, go through the agony of, like, sleeping on a floor and all this shit. We just didn't think of it that way. But yeah, we would play in Philly pretty often. We would get out of town a little bit. There was a point when Meg moved to the West Coast, and then we played with another drummer, this guy Ben, who also kicks ass, and got out of town a little bit more with him.
Okay. You also gave me something called Astute Palate.
Yes.
What kind of
fucking
name is that?
man, I don't know. I didn't come
palate's
up with that one,
but
I love it.
And Astute means you're kind of together, right? So I guess you got a sophisticated mouth.
Yeah, it's kind of a tongue twister.
Okay. No, I want to play some more, and then I want to hear the story of Astute Palate. I'm going to play it. Bring it on home.
Thank you. Thank you.
Alfred Pedro show. Yeah, that choke of music both started and ended with astute ballot. Bring It On Home, that's what we began the chunk with. Then Al Margolis, Days in the Forest. Love Al Margolis. Chester, New York. King Champion Sounds with Sally Timms. That's brand new out of Holland. I think Sally was with Mekons. And King Champion, that's AJ from Donkey and Sound Man for Dinosaur. Thou Hurricane. Getting a little Shakespeare on her ass. And Slarb. That's a made-up word, right? Maybe not. No Joy and Sonic Boom. She was just on the show a few episodes ago. And that's her doing a collab. And then finally, Astute Palette again. No Queen. Okay, the story of Astute Palette, Richie Brink.
All right, that's an easier one. I got so the voice on not those songs, but the other Astute Palette song you played earlier, that's a guy named Dave Nance who lives in Omaha and puts out his own records with his own band that are great. He, I invited him out here to play a gig, expecting him to play solo. This was two summers ago, and presented it to him. He's like, yeah, I'll come out. And then, you know, within a couple of days he thought about it. I was like, yeah, you know what? We're going to start a new band. I'm going to write some new songs. You're going to be in the band. You're playing drums and we're going to get some other people in the band, and we filled out the band. So like what you heard,
she had a little sea change.
Yeah, man. I mean, he really put me to work on that too. He like all of a sudden was like, yeah, I had my work cut out for me. Cause yeah, that guy can play.
You know, life deals you hand, right?
Yeah, we ran with it. It was a blast. We got together. He came in for the weekend and we like, got together to jam one in the evening. The next day, we recorded all the tracks. The
one
Thursday.
Yeah, one prac.
That was it.
Fuck.
Then he did the vocals the following morning. This is the third day. Did the vocals, and then we played a gig. And then that was the last time we were all together. We're hoping to do more. I mean, we're not hoping. We're making plans to do more.
Now,
but yeah, that was the extent of it.
Deep Boone's Pop was from Nebraska. Did this guy come up with Astute Palette? who came up with that fucking name?
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, Dave Nance. He's like, okay. Yeah, we're doing the band.
Johnny Carson was Nebraska, too. Maybe that's why. Deep Boone used to have me watch, we were boys, right, teenagers, and we're watching fucking Johnny Carson. In fact, the first Casablanca record was a double album of, like, excerpts from Johnny Carson's show. This is before Donna Summer and Kiss, you know. So, so Astute. I mean, did he run a bunch of names by you? I don't know how important our fucking fan names are.
No, but
it's a good beginning, right? You guys are going to come back to it, and I mean,
yeah, we're working on doing another one.
What do you think made him have the change of heart or the change of mind from being solo to like wanting to make a whole band with you?
I mean, I think he wanted to come out with, I don't know, playing solo is probably a drag. I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But he demanded that we put a band together, and we did it.
I'm going to have to ask him because you never did.
Yeah. I guess okay. That's a loose end I never tied up.
Yeah, look, Richie, if you're going to ask me if playing by yourself is a pants shitter, it's fucking like shitting a pecan log. I mean,
oh,
what?
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Christ. Some other cats, it's the total geo, so they can just run with it, okay? Humans are different, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Maybe. Yeah, I think, yeah, for the most part, yeah.
A little bit, and so, you know, sometimes. So, okay, he had to write these songs too, right?
Yeah, man, he just writes songs. This guy, he is full of songs.
I mean, the day he gets to Philly.
Well, he had written them ahead of time. Okay,
so he used the stuff he was going to use for his solo performance and adapted him to a band.
No, I don't even think it was that. I think he was like, you know what, like maybe he sat down and started to figure out a solo set and was like, you know, this sucks. What I want to do is have a band. And
so I got the material. I'll just flesh it out to have guys with me.
Yeah, and you know, he had like kind of like half finished songs, stuff like that, and we kind of got together and like wrangled them into you know, a beginning and an end.
Can I ask a personal question?
Yeah, you may.
Did you use a chart?
Oh, no, man. I couldn't imagine what the chart would even tell me.
Well, like, how the fucking tunes go? You only had one day to practice.
Yeah, I don't... I mean... It was fun, you know, it's funny being around, like, actual musicians that way and hearing them talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the voice of the girl who sings on the songs you played, Emily, she's, like, an amazing guitar player, singer. She engineered that whole record.
Yeah.
The bass player is a fantastic bass player, Dan Provenzano. And they're, like...
You meant by saying that you're always the weakest player.
Oh, yeah,
by far. I don't
think
weakest, Richie. I just think maybe not as much academic experience, but...
Maybe, but I mean, I don't know any music theory. Like,
yeah,
they're having conversations, and I'm out.
Yeah, but remember at the end of the day, I told you it's sound.
So yeah.
Whatever you guys had to do to get to that, I think it's valid. And also, it's the end of the second hour. August 4, 2021, Dishwat Pedros, a special guest, Richie Charles, hooked tight for our freak! August 4, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedros.
ancora non aver paura di cambiare, di uscire dalla direzione presa, non offrir la resa personale, non sa da fare, non sa da fare,
non sa da fare,
non sa da fare.
Det var så grueligt koldt. Det sneede, og det begyndte at blive mørk aften. Det var også den sidste aften i året, nytårsaften. Nytårsaften. I denne kulde og i dette mørke gik på gaden en lille med bart hoved og nøgne fødder. Ja, hun havde jo rigtig nok haft tøfler på, da hun kom hjemmefra, men den kunne det ikke hjælpe. Det var meget store tøfler. Hendes mor havde sidst brugt dem, så store var de. Dem tabte den lille pige, da hun skyndte sig over gaden, i det to vogne for så grueligt stærkt forbi. Den ene tøffel var ikke at finde, og den anden løb en dreng med. Han sagde, at den kunne han bruge til vugge, når han selv fik børn. Der gik nu den lille pige på de nøgne små fødder, der var røde og blå af kulde. I et gammelt forklæde holdt hun en mængde svovlstikker, og et bundt gik hun med i hånden. Ingen havde den hele dag købt af hende. Ingen havde givet hende en skilling. Sulten og forfrossen gik hun og så forkuet ud den lille stakkel. De små ben havde hun trukket op under sig, men hun frøs endnu mere, og hjem tog hun ikke gå. Hun havde jo ingen svovlstikker solgt, ikke fået en eneste skilling. Og koldt var det også hjemme.
Go ahead.
What's that, Richie?
Oh, I was going to say, man, you do this every day, don't you?
No, 5 days a week since November.
Well, that's still a lot
20,
of days.
You know, before that, 19-something years, it'd be once a week unless I was on tour. But when the situation came, it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The music's a lifeline, right? You can't do gigs, then let's talk to other dudes about it. Let's keep it going somehow.
And I love it, man.
You know what? Yeah. It's opened up my whole thing, too. I've met so many cats because... You know, people ask me about the old days, and I say it's about people. So are the new days. It's all about fucking people.
Yeah, man. I love that you're enthusiastic about it to this day and see it that way. Cause,
well, if you're not, then you're jiving. You're just fucking servicing a lifestyle. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You want your last gig going out halfway? Fuck.
Nah.
No. No sleepwalking, no holding pattern, no cruise control, no rubber stamp, no Xerox machine.
That's what man.
Trying to... Okay, and I'm it's not Watt's idea. I'm a part of a movement. It's nebulous, but okay. A little proof from astute palate. Babes, New York City. You're shopping on the moon. Four E's together. I don't know how to pronounce it. E. They're from Italy. Sadef Fragatora. Yeah. Calibos out of Irvine, Texas. Fractal Points. Carl 2000, I Think I Love You. Can't copyright a song, right? Remember the Monkees? No. Partridge Family. Partridge Family. Fuck you, what? Pavlos Vaklos and Niklos Malvitas. That's the name of a band. Cry. And then Button Down Assholes, Hypnotizing Chickens. Now, when I hear this prodge name, band name, I'm thinking of, and I remember asking Ig about this song. Hey, is that line about Vincent? About having that in the ear before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, so my way into it was the Flesh Eaters tune.
Chris D.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah.
Okay. Because it's I'm worth a million in prizes.
That's right? It, yeah. Or well, what he says, or the Chris D, the Flesh Eaters tune, it's like you know, he says a lot of words in his songs, and at one point he says hypnotizing chickens. He says it twice, and it's like a hell of an image. And so we lifted it and slapped it on our record.
I know, but I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm listening.
Lust for Life.
Mm-hmm.
Ig. So I don't know who came first, but the one I remember is a Second to Live, a Second to Die or something. It's got the fingers or candles, but there's a first album, too. And it's got a tune called Pony Dress. You look so good in your pony dress. Oh, okay. Then you know. Okay. And John Doe's on both those records, and he's great.
Hell yeah. No, those are great records.
Game of Dominoes. Yeah, that's been, okay. So tell me about this prod, Hypnotizing Chicken.
That was me and the other constant in Watery Love. You were saying you early in the pandemic started doing the radio show. Me and him got together.
Well,
and
I was doing more of it because I've been doing it for 20 years.
Or more of it, excuse me, yeah. You leaned into it.
Leaned into it, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, me and him, you know, kind of didn't know what to do, so we got our amps out, like these tiny little pig nose amps, and just for the first time, like I've had a 4-track forever, I finally plugged it in, and we started recording stuff, and
that's what we came up with. So this is kind of a recording proj more than the gigs.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. There's no gigs booked, no plans for it.
Okay, but you did give me another tune. I'm on time. I want to play that right now.
Thank you.
early on when we were doing this, I had just gotten my hands on the, what is it, the Feeble Efforts comp on New Alliance. And the,
well, there was actually a 7-inch before that called Feeble Efforts.
What's that one called?
And then the album's called Mighty Feeble.
Yeah, so I got my hands on both of those, and like I got deeply into some of that, some of those early ones you put out, the Shivers, I love, and the Plebes, amazing.
Slivers.
Oh, Slivers, excuse me.
That's Georgie's brother, Gregory. And Martin was in the, also in Plebes and stuff. He was one of the guys with me and D. Boom that started New Alliance. Okay, so you're hip to that early stuff.
And yeah, and well, knowing that you guys did that, those comps on like four tracks, I was like,
No. Well, the only requirement was that no master tapes. You had to give us the thing on a cassette. So it could be from a four-track cassette, yeah, but it could be also from a stereo cassette or a mono, just a voice memo shit. D. Boone was pounding on some machine with a wrench, and it turned into a Minuteman song called Themselves, but the first version was for Feeble Efforts. Let's tell people what we just heard. Last music of this edition, people, Hypnotizing Chickens with I'm on Time, then Derek Moneypenny with No Love You'd Call Real, the Levy Dumb, this is Brother Phil up in Mammoth, doing a version of, God, we make fun of all these people copying songs, but this is kind of a whack variation of Led Zeppelin. Look, Ma, No Slide version. I guess Jimmy used a slide. I think the drums, two mics, one in the hallway. And then this other proj, Fully Glazed, Bone Out.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you about Georgie. Glazed, you know, thought I was a donut. You tried to glaze me. Yeah, because Edward had a song called Blaze. And, of course, that didn't stay long. It was called Glazed. And, yeah, you didn't want to wake up glazed. But, you know, on tour, three-fourths through, Georgie would say, man, the crack of dawn better watch out. Don't be touching me. he called it twitch fire, so the glaze could be flowing. So tell me about Fully Glazed.
That was another one that it was kind of like a way to kill time, man. We had a lot of fun. We would, I think, for a year or two, every Tuesday, we would get together in the basement at the Record Exchange, and I would play drums, and my buddies Max and Ken would play guitars, and we'd record everything we did, and that's it. And yeah, we came up with that record and the song that you played, and yeah, we had a blast doing it, man.
When you were in that basement, was Bill Nace ever with you?
Bill Nace, I think that when we were doing that band, he was still up in Massachusetts.
Okay.
One time during that time, me and him got in the basement together and jammed a little bit, and we were trying to play like rock, you know, we were trying to like, you know, work out riffs and stuff, but I think we were too wasted for it to really amount to anything.
Okay. Now, most of these things in the basement, they weren't prearranged, right? It happened, it was like a happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Fully Glazed, especially, we would just kind of turn on the amps and kind of ease into it.
And what kind of plans you got now? Now, you were saying you didn't have any plans except fucking recording the Hypnotize the Chickens.
Yeah. You mean like future plans?
Future being or, like 15 minutes from now.
Oh, well, I mean, 15 minutes from now, I don't know. Who knows?
or next week. Okay, let's get a little more.
Next week, I mean, as far as if you're asking about tunes and like music, probably do more Hypnotizing Chicken stuff. We're trying to figure out a weekend for Astute Palate to get back and record. And, you know,
is there a place on the internet that people can hear this?
They could hear it for Astute Palate. So I do a label. And I put out the Astute Palate record, so you could, like, find your way through it on a Bandcamp site.
Yeah, give us the URL.
I guess it would be Petty Bunko, pettybunko.bandcamp.
Yeah, you got to spell it, though. Spell it, please.
Oh, yeah. PETTYBUNCO.
.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great, because, well, sometimes, I mean, you got to be hard charger and act like nobody is listening. But if somebody can listen, give them the opportunity, right?
That's yeah, man, I'd love, you know, if people dig it, I want them to hear it.
Right. But you don't want to, like, pander or, like, stoop. So you're going to do what you do and let your freak flag fly. But if they want to check it out, yeah. Well, not always, man. I hear people, I remember one guy was telling me, you know, yeah, I got to get more focused on a genre. I'm all too much all over the place. And then I'm thinking, fuck, music is music. Why do you have to do that?
Yeah, man. Do your thing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, what does fucking anything mean? Fuck, we lost Dusty Hill. Life is finite. Dusty, the dust, huh?
Yeah, have you seen him a bunch of times?
Oh, man, I saw him blow away Aerosmith when I was a teenager. That's and they cool. were just a little twig. They didn't have the snakes and the cows yet. It was just set up the mics close. Frank had the little four-piece.
Uh-huh.
Get high, buddy, get high.
The little old band from Texas.
Yeah. Big honor. Look, you get more of this fully glazed and hypnotizing chickens, a stew palate, please come back on the show and let's talk about it.
Yeah, and big love to.
Thanks again to Brother Bill Nace for making the connect.
Yo, thank you.
Absolutely. August 4, 2021 edition of Pedro Show, people. Keep your powder dry.